Welcome again. Taking my right hand, which represents rag, attachment, and the left hand, which represents aversion, dvesh, closing it all, I engage the Supreme One within you, within each one of you. There is a darshan of that which is within you, the fully enlightened one, and as he resides within you, I offer my highest namaskars to that within you which is eternal, that within you all which is awaiting, waiting to be awakened. Yes. It is with that vision that I connect, and it is with that vision of the enlightened one that we sing this three mantra. And having the Arihant as our goal, having the fully enlightened one as our goal. The fully enlightened one is the one who has really destroyed all the inner enemies. It is these inner enemies which prevent the vision. And so to the extent that there is a slightest blockage of that vision, it recognizes that it is there within you that prevents it. And so there will come a time when that veil of these kashais, or that which disturbs the self, is removed, and that is anger, greed, pride, deceit, and aversion, abhorrence, ego-related reactions, egoism, subtle ego attitudes, subtle minus, mine, all of those things. So I and mine, I-ness and minus removed, is the Arihant, and I will bow down to him. We use a sentence, a mantra which encompasses all of these mantras called Namo, which is Namo means to bow, to surrender. And Namo Vitaragai, V-I-T-A. If you want to, you can write it down in your book on top. Vitaragai, V-I-T-A-R-A-G-A-Y-A. And I'll repeat it. Namo Vitaragaya, Vita, like Vita, Vita. So Vita, Vita, like born, you know, Vita, V-I-T-A, R-A-G-A as in apple, Y-A, Namo Vitaragaya. Vita means without, rag means that which attaches me, pulls me, and takes me away from myself. And Gai, Namo Vitraga is the combination. So I bow to all who are Vitra, all who have become free from attachment, because it is from attachment that aversion arises. And so you get move away from yourself. You are the blissful one, but something pulls you away from your bliss, and therefore you enter into the world of the mundane and the phenomenal world. And once you step into that world, then you are tied into the dualities of rag and dvesh. The moment you get attracted or attached to someone, there is a built-in expectation that develops. The expectation is not something that you create. You only did the movement from the self into the non-self complex, into the phenomenal world. You moved into a territory which was going to create difficulties. You cannot blame anyone afterwards. So by the moment you start begin liking someone, then slowly, sooner or later, the opposite of that will start manifesting. As your liking and your attachment in that direction does not become what you meant it to be, what you projected it to be, or because of its temporary nature, as it decreases, then there is a very subtle dvesh that happens. You cannot make love all night. Sooner or later, you got to give it up. In the same way, you cannot continue loving anyone in the relative world continuously, because it is not a reality of life. There is only one love, and that love is a love which is self-contained, which is beyond any movements from the self into the non-self area. So rag is a very beautiful understanding word. Understand rag when can one cannot talk about the self, not acknowledging rag or its counterpart, dvesh or abhorrence. Rag is on one side. When rag is not satisfied, when expectations of rag are not met up with, then there is a slow amount of aversion that starts building up. And so this is the world of duality that we live in. And so we therefore pray that I now am going to move towards becoming a vitarag. And how do you become a vitarag? We talked about it in the morning. You have to meet somebody who is a representative of the vitarag. There is no currently a vitaraga, means somebody who is absolutely free from any evidences of attachment, or for that matter, any evidences of aversion. Such a one left this world 2600 years ago. And so we are now picking up the pieces and trying to revitalize his words and re-energize his words so that we can get back in with him before it is too late. And our current Akram Gnani, our Akram Vignani, Gnani Purush Dadashri, is saying essentially that I am revitalizing his knowledge. I'm bringing it, making it live for you, so through that knowledge you can climb back up again with the one who is wherever he is gone. He is there, he lives, and if you look at the Namo Arihantanam mantra, the Namo Arihantanam mantra is given precedence over Namo Siddhanam. Now, Arihant means there is a living being who has a body, who is like you and I, but who is absolutely free of these inner enemies. Whereas a Siddha is one who is even higher. The Siddha has done with any re-entry into the body. He doesn't have to really have a body, and he becomes fully enlightened and he ascends in a very special place at the junction of our universe and the other universe, where there is only the space and nothing else, at the junction of the lok, this universe, and the alok. At that junction, the pure soul, the soul, the absolute soul that has become liberated with no reason to have a body ever again, comes and rests there. And there are infinite such souls over there, infinite such fully liberated Siddha Bhagwans. They are called Siddha Bhagwans or Siddha Lords who reside there. Why then think? Why is it that this Siddha Bhagwans, and examples of this would be Lord Ram, he has attained Nirvana. He attained Gnan and knowledge from Lord Vashishtha. Vashishtha Muni, the sage, gave him this knowledge. He told him, Ram, Sita is not your wife. Dasarath is not your father. You are Atma Ram. You are the pure soul. It was a one-on-one connection between the two of them which liberated Lord Ram completely, and he went into a Siddha state, attained Nirvana. Same thing with these Tirthankars who passed away, who left their bodies, enter into the final stage of Nirvana, and the last of them being Lord Mahavir, the first of them being Lord Rushabdev or Adinath Bhagwan, Adam, Adinath Bhagwan. In between, another 23 Tirthankars are all named, beautiful, phenomenal human beings, fully enlightened ones. But when they leave the world, or when they are in the body also, they are vitaraks. They are vitaraks. But why would you, if you just ponder over it, why would Siddha be placed below Arihant? If Siddha is the ultimate to be attained, why is Siddha given number 2? And there is a very beautiful reason for it. And by the way, these first Namokar mantra and all these mantras are thousands and thousands of years old. But what it is given Siddha, a precedence, number 2, because once you are in the bodiless state up there, they don't receive your messages. You can keep on saying Rama, 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 Rama. Or you can, opposite of Ram is Marama, Rama, 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 Ram, 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 or mara mara mara. And it doesn't really matter. They don't have a body, so they do not receive your message. But if somebody is sitting in Australia or he is somewhere in this Brahmand, in this universe, it is a dear friend who has passed away, or a mother or a father who is no longer there in the body form. But they have not attained final liberation, so they are somewhere in this universe. And if you invoke their presence, if you invoke, and we will be talking about it, how to send messages to them, you can bring them here and you can send them very beautiful silent messages that have a very positive, beneficial effect on them wherever they are. Just as you can send negative vibration energies by becoming angry with someone, and therefore even if you move away from him, there is still the link of anger continuing between the two people. In the same way, these vibrations can be made in turn positive, and you can send positive energies. So Arihant Bhagwan, he is the current living Lord in human form, fully enlightened, and his very name, by invoking such a one, wherever he is, we say, he receives the messages. So we say, my Lord, even though you are not in front of me, I know you are there, and please send me your energies, or please grant me your grace, so that I too can become like you, free from attachment and abhorrences, free from all the subtle ramifications of these that seem to bog me up and seem to tie me up and seem to make me clash with people around in this world, never giving me a chance. And so please clear my way. And there are protector deities, there are celestial beings who protect the path of this Arihant. If the Arihant is there, there are millions of subtle celestial beings who are there and who are in the business of making it relatively easy for you, because you are now in this very first prayer, Namo Arihantanam.
Sing the three mantra again.
So we're going to sing the three mantra in there. Now you're invoking him. So we're going to now sing the three mantra, all of us. And let us sing it together. And we will sing it five times. And feel the energies of it. The meanings are there, okay? So now everybody has got Namo Vitra guys in their books. So we are going to start with Namo Vitra guys. Vitragaya. Vitragaya. Come forward, come close. Mantra which is on page 3. It's a mantra that destroys all obstacles, just for now. And the meanings are there, we're going to sing it 5 times. Jai Sachidana.
Namo Vitragaya, Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Namo
Session we're giving, and the theme is going to be on pratikraman. But for the new ones, we'll have a little bit of introduction, just brief, before we go into.
How many are here for the first time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Byron, you're not there for the first time.
Beginner's mind.
You keep saying that, he has to go back to meetings.
Are you too cold, Sally, for another?
This is, is he bothering you? What is your good name, ma'am?
Veronique. Veronica?
Veronica. And yours?
Chandra.
Chandra. Some of what I say and some of these words that will come out may sound the same. But will you please give me an answer? I am Veronica. And my name is Veronica. Is there a difference? I am Chandra.
Mm.
And my name is Chandra. Which is more correct?
My name is Veronica.
Yes.
My name is
Veronica. Who is this person who is saying my name is Veronica?
A character.
You're new too. Your name, ma'am?
Name is Natasha.
Kasha? Yeah.
Natasha.
Natasha. Natasha. You understand English? Natasha. Russian?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This morning we had a few Russians. This gentleman in front of you is Russian. You know him? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So at least you feel at home then. Somebody from Russia.
And the lady next to her also came in together.
Yes.
In
how many from Russia? Three? Two?
One here also in Russia.
Yes. Please come.
Russian.
Great.
The Russians are hungry.
So, there are two paths of liberation, two paths to the self, two paths to the original I, two paths to the bliss that is associated with coming home. Two paths. One you already know about. That is the traditional path wherein you listen to a master. You listen to, read some beautiful books, come near in the vicinity of a master like our master here, the Gnani, and try to absorb his energies and hopefully meet someone who will revive his words, because he is gone. He is not there. Yet his energies seem to be around, and therefore everybody congregates. And you hope that you will find somebody who will pick up his words and his message as it was meant to be, as if you were alive in front of him, so that you can receive it as it is without any distortion or change in the original transmission. But if it doesn't happen, then you are left at the with the mercy of the one who is interpreting it for you, who is giving it to you, or through the books that have been written when he was around. So as far as the books are concerned, they have a value because they point in that direction of the self. and in the self. And here, a moment when we start moving in the direction of the self, we are moving away from the one who was in the road of the non-self, and the nature of the non-self is to move back and forth horizontally between that which is good versus that which is bad. You see, in other words, you're constantly moving away in this plane, from away from the bad towards the good. But no matter how much you move towards the good, would you ever come towards the self, which is above the good and the bad? So when you move towards the self, you are leaving away everything, in a sense, that which is good or the bad. Yes, good or the bad is always going to be there as long as you have a body, and as long as you have a sense that I am Veronica and I am Chandra. Chandra knows what is wrong, not right, what is hurtful to the others, and what is good, beneficial, and good for everyone else, and as well as yourself. However, despite wanting so much to do the right thing and to be in the right and not to hurt anyone, do you know why you still end up hurting other human beings? You do not want to hurt somebody. You do not want to hurt somebody very close to you, and yet it happens, does it not? It happens for all of us. So is there not a reason for it? What reason do you think there is for it, Veronica? Why do you think human beings hurt each other?
Because they identify with what is happening?
Yes, but when you say they identify with each other, what is happening, you are implying that there is a choice not to identify. In other words, is hurt happening, or is one deliberately hurting? Let's take the example of the one who says, "My Lord, I don't want to hurt anyone today. This morning, this is my very special day. I do not want to hurt anyone through these three weapons that I have: thoughts, words, and actions. Mind, speech, and body. Today, I will not hurt anyone." So what have we decided? Veronica has decided through her intentions that I am not going to hurt anyone. With the purest intentions, with the purest prayer, the highest inner thing, you have decided that you do not want to hurt anyone. And yet you and
yes.
I both know that the hurt will happen.
Yes.
So why did it happen? Very simple.
Because maybe the desire not to hurt,
yes,
was too strongly, was it like almost having power on that, wanting to control that, I will not hurt anyone. And then it brought back the other side.
That?
Duality.
That duality, you think the duality...
The more I want to hurt, the more I will hurt. Maybe.
That is one way of looking at it, but really, the jnanis in their infinite vision and in their awakened, enlightened vision see the clear disconnection, the clear separation between intent and action. In other words, it is the illusion to believe that the intention is connected somehow with the action. The intention is the cause and the seed that is laid in the past life, and the action is the result that happens in this life. You see? And so, if the intention is improved, if the intention is purified through knowledge, through right knowledge, then the action will automatically follow through. One doesn't have to do anything with it. And what does the world try to do? They constantly try to change the action, the external that comes in front of them. They are always trying to manipulate that, forgetting that that is the result. If I tell you, Veronica, that your movie of Veronica was already filmed, and from birth till death, the movie of Veronica is now just playing.
Yes.
Would you agree that...
Why not?
Yes? Yes?
Why not? Yeah.
Why not? So then if the movie has been made, once, say you're a Hollywood movie director and you've already made a movie, and it has gone all over the world for distribution, and it is about to be played, and it's already playing, can you change it? Can you change it?
Well, obviously no.
Yeah. You see, all of us are here with these individual body complexes, thoughts, speech and actions. This rupi pudgal, which is this formed complex, with its own autopilot inner mechanisms that are happening in reaction to the external surroundings. And what are we trying to do in the ignorant state? Somehow trying to manipulate it and improve it and improve it and try to make it right by us, the way we would like to have it. But we don't know what we want out of this body complex. We really do not know what we want it to do. One morning we will say we want it to be this way, and then in another surrounding we want it to be this way, and in another surrounding it wants to be this way. How would you know what you want out of this body when you really don't know who is the one who is running this body? Are you in control? Are you running this body that the world identifies as Veronica, as Chandra, as...
Shruti.
Shruti? Shruti. You walk around this whole world. I am Shruti, I am Chandra. And so, and I can do it, because when you say the moment I am this, then you become the doer of it. I am, and therefore I am the doer. Did you come here this afternoon, or did it happen?
It's happened. As usual. As always.
It as always.
As always. It's happening.
Yeah.
It is happening. If this knowledge that it is all happening gets absolutely installed within you, you're free. You're free. You're liberated. You are a jivan mukta. You are free even as you walk around with the body. But when good things happen, through Veronica or through Shruti or through Chandra, when beautiful things start happening, the inner one takes over and says, I did it. I did it. And when bad things happen, then what do you say?
She did it.
She did it.
Somebody else did it.
Yeah, or my stars are not favorable. My stars are not favorable. So you go to the nine lords or the nine grahas, and somebody then is already there. It is your Saturday that is bothering you, or it is your Tuesday that is bothering you. Really, the only stars that are bothering you are inside you, your agra, vigra, kadagra, matagra. All grahas of insistence that I am this and it has to be my way and no other way is right. See? There are the other person who doesn't know it. I know better. I am something. If I don't take care, the whole thing is going to get ruined. So you start projecting yourself into the future also. If I don't take care, it's not going to happen. So you've just lost the present. And you projected yourself in the future. You've seen the bus drivers who drive a huge bus which is as long as this bus, as room, and yet he is driving on the mountains in such a beautiful manner, and you are a passenger and you wonder how come he's not colliding with anybody. Narrow roads. Why? His ego has extended from that corner of the bus to this corner of the bus. See, he's very much aware of the bus. And here we are trying to liberate and go on the path of liberation. And my friends, the traditional path is already there. I do not need to tell you about the traditional path. You have been through the various traditional paths. Lord Krishna has described it in the Gita, all the way in the 18 chapters, all the way from Namasmaran, Jap, Tap, Tyag, you know, the whole works, Karma Yoga, Raj Yoga, whatever yoga, whatever remains to be united with the Lord within you. And that is not the message that Siddharth, Gayatri, Bharat and I are here, have come here to give you. Siddharth, Gayatri and Bharat received something very beautiful and very practical and experiential in a very fast manner. This, just like this. In one evening of their life, precisely 2 hours. And that is the stepless path. This one is the step-by-step path of wanting to change that which is in front of me through the ego, saying, I will not lie, I will not deceive, I will be true to the one that I love. I'll be true to my God. Not recognizing what that God is all about. How can you be true to the Lord within you when you really have not experienced Him? Is it all? He all is an entity that is out there within or somewhere. But even if you taste Him, even if you experience Him for 1 second, your work is done. 1 second. And that is self-realization. Self-realization no longer remains a concept. It becomes a reality for the one who chooses to receive it. And for that, we have come with this akram vignan. A means without, kram, no method, no order, no step, no renunciation, no chanting, no making gurus, no following anything, no doing anything, no exchange of money, no conditions, no fasting, no penance, no giving up anything, no walking away from the pleasures that arise in front of you, no method. So if it's not a method, what is it? And it is called akram, because it's no step,